My life provides the world an opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package. My smile emulates the sun in ways that makes those around me feel the warmth of my love. Joy creates the type of breeze that brings new direction to those that doubt spring is coming. The cooling blue skies that exist in my world are truly infectious. I hate the thought of slumber because it denies me too many moments when I'm not impacting the world. The passion I have for life cannot be contained by the dark clouds of my personal doubts. I have mastered my own negativity in a way that reduces any reduction in my productivity. Now every day is the net profit of my existence. My ball of life bounces off the foundation of obstacles, which were overcome with a smile. I now see the roadblocks as the items that give my reason for living value. My self-worth is discovered in the way that I enjoy bringing happiness to others. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, 6 p.m. Sunday through Friday, East Coast time, 3 p.m. West Coast time, Saturday at 8 p.m. East Coast time, and 5 p.m. West Coast time. This is a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we participate in our world in a way that brings greatness to our existence. It is now time that we make sure that we no longer exist on the sideline, but are fully involved in the game that is going to determine our fate. I look forward to you calling in my show, 657-383-0309, so that your voice is heard without a filter.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Ain't no disrespect when the king goes sick.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, we are overindulged in so many many issues and situations that we need to discuss. And that's what makes it so important that we get together on a daily basis, because there is not enough time to fully discuss everything that needs to be shared. So we need to be on board and on top of things as often as we can so that we come to some conclusions about things that are the most important. And I want to just say to you guys, as everybody calls in, you know, we all cannot shy away from the individuals that we need to interact with. Somebody has to spend some time with the person we feel can be made to indulge some of the issues that we think we have with our society. So we want to talk today about that situation. But prior to doing that, I just want to go on record as saying this. I went to a historical black college. And everything that I needed at that college was provided me an opportunity to make a living. My sister went to Florida State. And Florida State was not the school for me for a lot of reasons. But it was good for her and gave her a different perspective than the perspective that I have. So all of us can't have the same perspective and same outlook. we need all of us to have different experiences. So when we come to the same table, we are ready to fight the battle from a different perspective. We can all have the same force, focus, but sometimes we need to be able to fight from different directions so that those who we're fighting against get overwhelmed by the fact that we have knowledge in a lot of different ways. So I wanted to talk to you today about Steve Harvey and D.L. Hughley, who are at different perspectives about how to deal with Donald Trump. Obviously, D.L. Hughley has a serious issue with Donald Trump, and he needs to be aware that there are African Americans out there who don't want to have any dealings with him, who clearly want to state a position about how they feel about him. And then you have people like Steve Harvey, Jim Brown, and others who want to see what they can negotiate out of Donald Trump for the betterment of our different communities. And I'm on board with all of that. Now, I happen to be a person who wants to make sure Donald Trump is fully aware of what it is I feel about him and his two-facedness. And so I'm at a different perspective. But we do need to discuss what challenges lie ahead of us and how we're going to deal with those challenges and what viewpoints or what strategic stance are we going to take so that we get the most out of this situation as we possibly can. Audrey, I see you're on the line, so I'm going to go to you first. Audrey, tell us what your perspective is of what's going on and the people who seem interested in dealing with Donald Trump on a face-to-face basis and the others who seem to want to deal with him, like our congressman who wants to deal with him from an adversarial basis.
Okay, I've had a journey, had some emotions that have taken me on a journey. But first of all, let me just say happy Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day to everyone. And I hope that we have used this day as a way to reflect on our ability to serve. Again, this is a platform in which we can allow our voices to be heard. So that goes along with us being able to be committed to serve and take our country to a better place. But with that being said, first, I was somewhat surprised last week when I actually saw the YouTube of Steve Harvey having visited Donald Trump. And I was looking at something else, and it just was a link below, and I just saw the two of them together, and I was surprised because I'm a listener to the Steve Harvey Show on a regular basis, and I know that I mean, surely he don't have to tell his audience anything. A lot of times he has things going, and we don't know until it's completed, and that's the business world, and I understand that. But I was just surprised, and when I clicked on it, and I listened to it, my first perception was that he.
Are you still there, Audrey? I'm hearing a lot of feedback. Are you there, Audrey? Audrey.
Hello?
Joyce, can you go ahead and tell us what your thoughts are until we get Audrey back on the line?
Sure. I just clicked on it from what I saw. First of all, he looked like he got caught. Secondly, my thing is he really meeting with Trump for the community? Because when you look at it, no one has – Trump is not interested in the average people from the community. Let's be real, and let's really be real with that. You see, so my thing is, was he meeting with him for a personal gain? And like the other comedian said, that why would you meet with all the basketball players, the boxers, the people in show that you can meet with, singers, rappers, but not no one on a common level? And this is the same person who has ridiculed your president. Now, you willing to meet with them and work with them, but you wasn't willing to work with the president? So I can't buy what I'm seeing with Kanye West. Unforgivable. He is who he is, so, you know, you have to look at that. But Steve Harvey, that's a person you look at for a platform. To me, I don't think what you said or what you met with him and discussed, it wasn't for the community benefit. That's how I personally feel about that. I'm kind of disappointed with him, just like everyone else, and particularly that one comedian who called him out.
Hello? Hello?
Joyce, I can hear you, but I think we've lost the rest of the audience.
Oh. Hopefully maybe we get them back, but don't you agree with what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, I agree. I haven't seen or heard what he said, but I did hear D.L. Hughley call him out.
Yeah, he called him out. And my thing is, I think we probably may want to need to hang up and redial in again, you think?
Okay, I'm back with you. I got kicked off, but I'm back here.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
understand your position, and I understand, again, there has to be those of us who don't want to deal with Trump directly, and we need to make sure he's fully aware of how upset we are with him. But I'm trying to understand those people's positions who seem to want to engage him to see if we can actually give him an opportunity to make good on his promises, because he's going to be the president regardless. So at this point, we have to decide whether or not who will engage him and who will stand by and call a spade when he's making certain decisions. Kathy, what are your thoughts about that? I know you don't like getting in politics, but we're going to drag you in it today.
Okay, no problem. You know why? I think that's a great thing that you drug me in today of all days, because I believe that it's a great thing that he allowed some other people to come into the circle, whether it be Steve Harvey, whether it be James Bichette, whether it be Kathy Jones. We all are looking for the same thing, which is justice, something to where people can go into the communities and make some kind of regulations and rules so that we can have something. It doesn't matter if he's a comedian, if he's a rapper. If he has the ability to go in and have some kind of conversation with the president, which has never been done before, I think it's a great thing. And if he says that it is for him to try to get something done, then I'm going to believe him. I'm going to stand behind him before I judge him. We don't know what they talked about, but what we do as people is we begin to judge everything before we hear the full outcome of everything. So I think we should stand behind them, first of all, until we see or hear what the actual results are.
Kathy, and this is Audrey, and okay. I'm from Orange County. Okay. Just like Harvey got a meeting with Trump, not saying that Harvey is ignorant or in any kind of way, I probably would have wanted to get a heads up from my president before I met with this idiot. Now, the reason I call him an idiot, he's not allowed on my TV. I don't watch him. I'll look at stuff on Facebook, you know, to keep me up. But no, I may have taken that avenue. Because I'm sure Obama could have shed some light on what to look for and what to be aware of.
Well, I have to share with all of you that I was a little taken back when I saw that Steve Harvey had met with him. You know, Steve Harvey, for the most part, has worked real hard and has established himself as someone who has been able to overcome obstacles, and he did not take the easy way to make it happen. And so I was a little taken back when he took the position of going to meet with him. I was a little taken back when Jim Brown took the position to go meet with him. So there are some credible people who have chosen to meet with Donald Trump, and certainly there are a lot of credible people who have chosen to go on record about him being illegitimate president, you know. But my problem is this man has no ability to control himself. He has no ability to let things roll off his back. And so obviously we have to be very careful about how much legitimacy we give him or what strategies we're going to use to get what we want out of him. And so we have to be real careful with that.
And a lot of the people that are dealing with him, do they actually have the community ear? No, I don't think so. I don't think Jim Brown has the community ear. So my thing is, I don't see him out invisible in the community and doing anything for the community. It's not fair. So
but
it's
Jim
not
Brown is still Jim Brown is still running from people accusing him of beating up on women. So he's not credible to me in no kind of way.
And you're right. I mean, Jim Brown does have some baggage. Supposedly, over the years, he has been doing some things out in California. Kathy, can you speak to the kind of things he's been doing out in California?
No, but I can speak to the things that I've been doing in California, and nobody knows my name, but that doesn't mean that I'm not a credible person to go and have a conversation with a man if he calls me forth. But, hey, we all have some sort of baggage that we've had in our past, but that's why it's called redemption. You know, we do things to redeem ourselves, but what seems to happen as people, we hold on to the past and don't allow people to the change of people to be what we see in them, but we look at their past and we judge them by that. So for me, I'm for Steve Harvey. I'm for Kanye West. If they can get up there and they can talk to that man sensibly to talk about something for our communities, I am for it 100%.
Have a problem with them going talking to him. I just would have taken a different avenue. I probably would have wanted to know a little bit about him because anybody that tweets at 3:20 in the morning, they got a problem. Especially
we know he has some issues. I mean, that's something. Anybody who argues the man don't have some issues is, you know, one of the things I heard about recently was that had people like even Bush Jr. and our present president, if they had responded to everything that was said about them, they wouldn't have been able to govern our country. And so he has to get to the point where he stopped trying to tweet about everybody who has something negative to say about him, and he got to let some stuff roll off his back or he won't be able to get anything accomplished.
You're right about that.
You know, when you keep calling people or saying about people they're overrated, Mill Street, I mean, how can you fix your mouth to say someone who's been a movie star and been a part of as many things as she's been a part of to say she's overrated? You know, and so he constantly says the same thing about people who are already historic. You know what I mean? When historic people say about him,
He needs to keep his mouth closed.
Well, he does things to distract people about things that are not important instead of having people look at things that are important. What are you not doing?
Well, in my case, he's a bully because he cannot take a criticism, and he want to tear you down. So either you have to make him look good, stroke him up, or whatever, but you cannot criticize him because if you do, he'll try to destroy you. And who does that to your congressman? He's nothing. Oh, he's nothing or whatever. Haven't done anything or whatever. But, you know, these are the people. But, you know, I have nothing against Jim Brown. I have nothing against Kanye West. But my thing is that who you should have been given the respect to and talking and try to reach the people of color who has been to the top, and that would be President Obama. So in the flip side of that, he disrespected him and talked about him like a dog. So my thing is, what make you think that these guys can do more than what the president who's there, who knows, and who can give you the best advice as to how to do a whole segment, people of all levels? That's what I have a problem with, for sneaking in certain people and then bringing them out and showcasing them. And he left Steve Harvey out there by himself to explain it. That's what he told him. I'll let you tell them what it is. Like, I'm done with you. I've showed you. I've been in the spotlight. I got to go.
I like to weigh in, James.
All right, go ahead, D.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I want to say good evening, ladies, and nice to talk to y'all. Look, I think the key component of the topic that you opened up with is the concept of perspective. And to me, perspective means the way I view my existence in the world that I live in. And so, you know, we know who Donald Trump is. We've all been traumatized by this guy. And so now it has come to a point now where we got to take the emotion out of it and started using some other type of strategy, because the emotion that he has stirred up in us, being people of color, is mutual. So I think that the strategy should be to see how we can approach him, and I think that's a key word, how we approach him and the situation differently. Now, my theory is that he's going to flame out. He's going to flame out over the next year or so, okay, because of the people, the professional around him. He's going to bleed out to where they're going to end up kicking him out of office. What we should be doing is trying to sustain our existence, being that he is now going to be the president. There's not much we can do about that. Director Comey and everybody up into the primary, they botched that up. So now we're stuck with what we're stuck with. So we got to take the emotion out. And, you know, Kanye West and, you know, all those would-be spokesmen, they can't speak for us. If they could speak for us, they'd be on a show like this. So they don't speak for us. Those are people that, like the lady just said a moment ago, those people was chosen by Trump to be front and center, so to try to appease us. But you know, that's not going to happen. So I just want to share that right there.
And you're right. You know, we have to make the best of a bad situation. We cannot ignore him. We got to deal with him. It's like, you know, it's almost like a contest. You know, we drew this person, and so now we have to figure out the best way to manipulate him to get what we want in the long run. And we either got to get that because he's willing to give it to us, or we got to trick him to give it to us. We can't just not participate.
That's
somebody's going to have to meet with him, and so we have to establish who that person is. And whoever that person is who meets with him has to try to manipulate
them from close up. And then those of us who choose to fight him from afar, I'm going to fight him from afar. I'm going to fight him on this radio show. I'm going to call a spade a spade. When he does something that makes sense, I will acknowledge it. When he does stuff that's stupid, I'm going to call in on him. So I'm going to fight him from afar, but I will not look, I know and I'm very well aware of people who are looking to get things that they want to get without fighting for the majority of us. When I see the Trump girls, those two black females, I know they just out for themselves. Okay, they don't care anything about the community as a whole. They're singing Trump's praises because he's paying them. So I don't respect them at all. But if someone is able to get what we need from Trump and it is for the community at large, then I'm willing to accept with their efforts. But I'm not willing to accept the efforts of people who are in it for themselves. I support people who are not going to the inaugural. I support the musicians who are not going to play at the inaugural. I support anybody. I would like for them to be out there by herself in the snow if I could get it like that. But I know I can't. But as close as I can get it to that is what I'd like.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Well, first let me go back again and just say, again, happy Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And, again, let us make sure that we're serving not only today but always for the and betterment of our country. As it relates to the conversation today, starting with Steve Harvey, I took a journey. But I think what I was most disappointed in was, from my perspective, when I saw the clip where Donald Trump and Steve Harvey had exited the Trump Tower and came in front of the reporters, it appeared to me, my perception was, Trump had just used Steve Harvey, because what I thought I heard Trump say was, the conversation went well with my friend Steve Harvey, and now I'm going to turn the reporters over to Steve to talk to. And to me, you have just now used him. And I agree that we have to have a person to have conversation in order to work towards a solution. And I think time will tell whether Steve Harvey is genuinely, as he stated on his show earlier this morning, that he's trying to use his platform to speak for people that are unable to speak for themselves. Now, one of the things that stood out to me when Steve Harvey was talking was he said a couple of times, Donald Trump asked him, what do you want? And I take that from Donald Trump, maybe because of what I've seen, how he chewed up his opponent almost setting you up to pay you off. Now, Steve Harvey indicated that that's not what his motive is. And when he was in the dialogue, he indicated that he wanted to help to make sure of good housing. Trump immediately called Ben Carson and informed Ben Carson of this being an opportunity for Steve Harvey to assist. I think time will tell whether it is actually for his own purpose or for the good, and we have to see and support that. But I agree that we have to have people to go in dialogue with him. But I also understand that there are many qualified people who have been working with housing for long, extended periods of time who will not just reflect on the challenges they may have had, but have a really true sense of what we're facing now, what have been tried, and those are the people that you would bring in. I'm not really sure how familiar Ben Carson is with being able to understand the challenges that we have for housing. But as it relates to Congressman John Lewis, he is truly an icon. He has not just talked the talk, he has walked the walk. And I applaud him for speaking his opinion. We all have the right to do that. But I am concerned with the president will, as we've all established, that he will belittle anyone that disagrees with him. And that is not what a president does, however, that is our president. So Bottom line for me, now more than ever, we have to unify. Kathy is right. We have to get behind and support and see what happens. That's the only way, I think, Brother D mentioned that, take the emotion out of it. We have to go through that cycle. At least I do. My first response is to respond emotionally. That's the reason why I said I've had a journey. And then I come to the point where I can make some good decisions. But it's time for us to constantly unify. And, Mr. Deshaies, thank you for being willing to put out what's right about Trump and areas of opportunities, because he will be representing us one way or the other.
Well, that's true. You know, I was listening to you talk about Ben Carson being over the housing. Now, as what I remember, I've learned about Ben Carson is that he was the best neurosurgeon, one of the best neurosurgeons there was in the country. I wonder why didn't Trump put him somewhere where he would be in familiar territory like the Surgeon General?
And that would have made sense, you know. That would have been too much like
my understanding was Ben Carson was offered that position and declined. That's what I had heard at one point when he was trying to get cabinet members and that kind of stuff. But, you know, if Trump really is trying to put an olive branch out, I'll be very interested to hear later on today what actions did he take on this Dr. Martin Luther King Day in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy, because you can talk a lot of talk, but it's your
exactly
that speaks louder than words.
Well, you know what? I hang out with a lot of several professional people, and I have an array of different types of friends. They thought for Ben Carson to take the position that he did was a joke, and it was something that was thrown up in his face when he should have been Surgeon General. Now, I've never heard that he declined that position, but I will Google it and find out and let you guys know tomorrow.
That's a good idea.
Super.
Because
that
I
would be great.
That he was, I didn't hear that he was offered that position either. And the thing that we need to know is that when even you look at his cabinet, you see that there are a lot of people who he overlooked, who you have to be aware that this man has the ability to use you for what he needs at the time he needs it, because you know that there are some critical people who were at the forefront of his campaign that do not have a place in his cabinet. You know, so you need to be aware of Giuliani is one of them, and Chris, what is Chris's last name? The governor of New Jersey. He's
Christie.
You know, so there are people who were fighting from him from the outset who have been shunned. So we need to be careful about who meets with him and how he'll lie to them. It's already established that the man is a liar, without a doubt. So you can't take everything he says to you at face value. You have to be prepared to hold his feet to the fire when it comes to those kinds of things. And it's just like with health care. Here you are in a situation where he says he's going to make sure that everybody is able to be insured. You know, it's just amazing to me that the Republican Party can do that now, but has not done it for more than 16 or 20 years. So,
you know, I watched the program last
how
week.
This plays out.
It was when Obama at his first inauguration in 2008. While he and Michelle were dancing, there were 15 Republicans in a meeting across the way meeting, and they said, whatever Obama proposed, we will decline it. They even declined some of the things they wanted because it was him that put it on the table.
And you're right. You're exactly right. But to me, it gets us nothing to act the same way they do. We need to strategically seek to get what we need, no matter who gives it to us, if it will benefit us in the long run. I'm not one who wants to fight for the sake of fighting. If there is something that I can benefit from that they want to take under them and give it to us, I'm okay with that. But I don't want to say no just for the sake of saying no. I want to take advantage of every opportunity. Now, if they can get everybody health care and make it work, I don't have no problem with it. If they can make sure that jobs increase at the same time payroll increase or hourly wages increase, I don't have a problem with it. You know,
well, that's exactly what Obama said in his final speech. If you can come up with a health care program that works better than what we have, I'm for it.
Exactly.
James, I'd like to say something, James.
Exactly. G, go ahead.
Okay. In remembrance and in commemoration with Dr. King's birthday, we have to understand, we have to remember, because I know you understand because you're there, we have to remember the kind of person he was. He was a methodical person and a statistician, and he knew the opposition that he was going up against. Now, just like the lady said a moment ago, when Obama was inaugurated and across the river, wherever it was, they was holding meetings and passing emails to downplay any situation that Obama did. Well, Dr. King knew the opposition. Was good at that right there, twisting things, twisting lies, and he knew that the double standard was alive and well. And so the double standard still exists today. That's why we have to take the emotion out of it, because we have to understand the opposition. They will lie to your face and think that you have short-term memory.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. So, that being said, now we got to start thinking like Dr. King. Now, I, being a man of my age, I remember when Dr. King and Malcolm X used to meet together. And the brother Malcolm had a different kind of strategy. He wanted to be a little bit more aggressive to try to change some a little faster. And
yeah.
Dr. King understood that this ain't the way to do it, because you're going to antagonize the situation, whereas the laws that are written for this land, they wrote the laws to appease themselves. And you can't go up against them gun for gun, because you're going to be outgunned, and the laws are written for them. So we kind of have to wait them out. I most agree that waiting is slow. But in the long run, and utilizing faith and God's grace, we will get exactly where we're trying to go. But
I agree with you. It's kind of like what Obama said. Reality, his mom told him, reality will show up and present itself. Now, I'd like to say one other thing. I understand exactly what you're saying. We got to do like Dr. King and can't be more like Malcolm, because they were totally opposite. The problem is I think young adults, point where we were not going to regress and have to redo this thing all over.
I agree.
And I think that's
but
the problem.
What you have to do, though, one shoe does not fit all. And that's what we have to understand. When you commit, when you have different people strategically placed to do what it is that they do best, so that everybody gets what's best for us all. So once you don't fit all, you cannot make Donald Trump do what you want to do by being antagonistic. So we got to learn to play the game. You know, one of the things I had somebody tell me when I was at South Carolina State. They said they came to South Carolina State to learn how not to deal with the white man. I told them I came to college to learn how to deal with the
wow.
You see what I'm saying? Because you cannot not deal with him. I mean, someone who thinks they're going to live their whole entire existence without learning the game and rules so that they can better deal with him will always fail. We have to learn the rules and learn the rules well enough that we can out-position those who wrote the rules.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
I think everybody prepared to that point where we don't know enough about each other's ethnicity in order to deal with them. You know, I agree.
We've got to
learn the rules, and you got to know how to. You got to be like the spook who sat by the door. That's what you got to be.
Yeah. We need people like Cassie, who's out there getting grants, who's out there manipulating the rules for the best interest of her community. And we have to be prepared to assist her, and we got to let her do
Well, you know, if Donald Trump is the one who's giving out the grants or controlling the offices that are, have the purse strings, we can't tell her don't deal with him. She needs
exactly.
that money to better support those people in her community. Is that not right, Kathy?
You're absolutely right. And I wanted to make another comment about somebody saying something about Ben Carson being known for, I think it was, he's a surgeon. But that's
surgeon,
all.
Neurosurgeon.
That's all that we know him as, but we don't know what else he does. You know, just like you right now, we could say we know you as a talk show host, but there is more to James Deshaies than a talk show host behind the scenes. You're an author. You've worked in the jail. You know, you've mentored people. So there are other things that we can say about you if we know of you. You know, so we can't just put one specific thing on a person because we don't really know who that person is. And we have to allow time in order to see what the outcome is actually going to be. As that young man says, you know, we have to wait a little while. So it is going to be a minute before we find out what's really going on with this particular president. And we have to pray and just be about our business. As long as we're doing what we're supposed to do, then everything else is going to follow.
And we have to participate. We have to participate. Audrey, do you have anything else you'd like to share? Audrey. Joy. You know,
James,
one of the things that I listen to everybody who's been talking is that we need to make sure we understand fully what these people are trying to get accomplished. Now, listen, I do not want to throw the word Uncle Tom around too loosely. I do know what Uncle Tom means, and in fact, you know, there's some history behind that term that is positive. But even if I take what the normal term means, understand you have to wait and see what people are doing if they're committing treason against their own community. You can't assume that they're being treasonous just because they meet with someone. We have to be patient. We have to see if the person is truly looking to create a foundation that is only for them and not for the community. And that's what we have to wait and be patient to see. Because if Steve Harvey can work with Donald Trump and get some things done in Chicago that will reduce the murder rate, I'm all for it.
I'm all for it too, but I just got to ask one question. Who knows Chicago better than Barack? And that's why I said I probably would have chatted with him first before I met with the doc.
You're right. I got a question. And I know that Steve Harvey has a lot of respect or has shown or suggested that he has a lot of respect for President Obama. So, I would hope that he understands that, you know, we got to be we got to look at this in both ways and not be so ready. I love what D.L. Hughley said. Believe me, even with the profanity that he used, I appreciate what he said and how he said it, and he went on record with it, and I'm glad that he did.
Well, so
am I. You know what, James? You know what, James? That's why they will never call D.L. That's why they will never call D.L. Hughley to come into any kind of business meeting because of the way that he said what he said. See, first of all, when you're looking to gain something and you're looking to be a part of something, you have to humble yourself. You can't just, even though I know that President Trump was one of those people that said everything that he wanted to say, And because of his color, he was able to do that. But I'm saying if you are for the people, you're going to humble yourself in some sort of way. If you are really for the people because you're trying to get something. And the term of being an Uncle Tom, you know, some people may say Uncle Tom, but you may have been just praying for something the last 4 years, and all of a sudden someone calls your name to be called up. And so I'm an Uncle Tom because I've been praying to the Lord for something, and all of a sudden someone calls my name, and I'm able to go forth and talk to somebody about peace in a community, about building up a community, about making things happen for a community. I'm being called an Uncle Tom. Then, okay, then I'm going to be an Uncle Tom because my position is to be a servant for my community. My position is to make things happen for my community. My position is to say, okay, this man is saying that he's going to give us this money to build our community, to open up more jobs for the people that are in this community. Okay, so this week I'm going to be an Uncle Tom because next week is going to be something else.
And I agree with you, Kathy. That's why I'm saying we need to be real careful about putting that label on somebody until we really see what their true mission is. Again, I'm going to tell you what I think. Those Trump girls, and you can go in and Google them, and I wish there was a way I could get to them because I would strangle both of them. Now, you know I'm a Christian, and you know I ain't no criminal. But them two and you know I'm going to call them something. Y'all know I ain't supposed to call them. But I want to because they got used and abused, and now they're sitting back laughing and fat-catting it, and I just wish I could. I can't tell you what I wish.
James, I'm going to have to look that up because I'm not aware of that.
James, yeah, you need to look up. They call them the Trump girls, the Trump girls. They're two African-American women, and I don't think either of them are very intellectual.
James, I'd like to concur to that.
Go ahead.
Okay. Look, the Trump girls are just pawns, and they're opportunists. They come down a dozen. They don't know. All they know about Dr. King is his name. They have no idea what the struggle was and what the struggle still is. So it's all about dollars and cents for them. But when it comes down to a black person being part of the cabinet, you all remember when the white establishment had issues with the civil rights movement. And in order for them to know more about what was going on, they used to send people as moles into the movement so that person could report back to them and let them know our every move. Well, what's wrong with us standing behind somebody and actually creating our own mold to be close enough to make some kind of dent in this situation? I mean, it's a fabricated idea, but it's possible, and it could be made to happen. What do y'all think?
I think you're right, D. I think that's why I'm saying to you, we need somebody who can go into the inside with Donald Trump and manipulate him in a way where he thinks that he's the one doing the manipulation. You're exactly right. All of us can't fight him from the same strategy. So we need different strategies. And I'm all okay with that as long as it's giving us the results that we need as a community. We know Donald Trump is crazy. Does he not understand that Atlanta is a mecca in Georgia? That's the only mecca that exists in Georgia as far as I'm concerned. So to tell Lewis he ain't doing nothing when this man has been a part of the mecca in Atlanta ever since he's been in the Congress is crazy. But he just sees this as one. He just sees it as one thing. He doesn't know about Decatur, Georgia, and all the different suburbs of Atlanta where black people got more money than he was even aware that African Americans possess. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't know about the college mecca of Atlanta, Georgia. I've gone there for many years to visit, you know, Morehouse, Atlantic University now, and all these
things. You got Clark Atlanta?
Yeah. He ain't even aware of that. You know, if you ask him any questions about the college mecca, the college complex, he don't have no knowledge of that. He don't know the kind of men and women who come out of Atlanta, Georgia. You know, so when he was talking to John Lewis about not being, you know, you need to do something about what's going on in Atlanta, where you govern, he has no clue. Let's be real.
You know, I only saw a little snippet on Facebook of D.L. Hughley when he used the F word. I've always said that Donald Trump has given people that have not spoken out ever a forum to say what's on their mind. So he used the F word in one of his campaigns. So Hughley may have said to himself, if he can use it in an open forum, I can too. I'm not trying to defend him. I'm not saying that it's right, but that may have been his mentality.
Well, like I said, I support DL and I support Tom until I see a reason not to. And so I just think that we need to be aware that we need people strategically on all sides to get done what we want to happen.
And I've listened to Kathy today. I don't know where she's from, but she seems like she's doing a lot of powerful things. Congratulations to you.
Thank you so much. I wanted to see if everybody had watched the movie Hidden Figures. If not, that will be a great movie for us as a community of the show to watch. And there's this one part in there where they talked about preparing yourself for such a time as this, because what happened is they had the African Americans separated from the whites, but the African Americans always prepared themselves for the future, meaning they were prepared to go in and work on something that had not happened yet. So when the time came, they were able to go in. The white people had to sit back and watch them make make the computers work. They went beyond, you know, the thinking of a regular person. They thought to the future. So I'm saying that to say that even these people that are set behind the scenes right now that we don't even know of, that are coming forth and being placed in front of Trump, they have been preparing themselves for such a time as this. So I believe that these particular people will be able to help make a difference in the community. You know, we have to believe that if the door is opening for some people, then we have to believe that this is something that God has chosen for such a time as this.
I agree.
All right. All right, listen, you know, I haven't taken a break, but I'm going to take a short break. And before I take a break, you know, because we are all fired up and we got a lot to talk about, but before I take a break, Dee, you remember I told you that we had to say something about the fact that the Fantastic Four was not available to us on Saturday. And so I didn't want it to go without saying that they all were lost in action, and I'm sure they all got an excuse for it, but I didn't want us to miss the opportunity to let them know that we were able to carry on in their absence. Yeah, and we had a great discussion.
Hello. I would like to speak to that, Mr. Deshay. I would like to represent the Fantastic Four on this day and say that we all need a break every now and then. And we are so glad that you were able to take the show on without us with other people. We know that you can do it, and that's why we had to sit back and take a break, regroup our minds because of the topics that you bring up. We have to be prepared at all times. So that's why we all took a break. Good.
Well, I'm gonna let D make a statement, and because I got something to say about that too. But D, you want to share with them how we got along and how we smoothly went through our conversation related to the topic, despite the fact they were present.
But you know, ladies, he said that. He was very gracious in saying that you all deserve a break. You know, he knows that he works the mind quite well, and so he actually mentioned the fact that you all was taking a well deserved break. So I'm gonna stand with you on that, ladies, that you all do deserve a well deserved break. Me being a newcomer, I was able to take your place temporarily and hold it down for you. But we love you.
We appreciate that. And he also have to take into consideration that there are some days that we are ready to go on live when we get a text saying that it's going to be a recording, too. So it works both ways.
Amen to that.
Hello.
Well, George, I just want to tell you for that little bit I heard Kathy say, you can paint the wall any color you want it, but y'all wasn't here. So that's what I want to say.
That's funny.
I flipped on you, James. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you might have to add six to the group because it sounds like Audrey is going to be here every day, and also we have the gentleman, so it's six of us. Fantastic.
Okay.
Within the six, somebody can hold it down.
We distinguish between the groups, so certainly we got the Fantastic Four, and we'll continue with our other groups because the other caller who's on has been is a return caller as well. So I don't know if we have any first time callers. Are there any first time callers out there? All right, let me take this break and we'll come back and finish our show off today. And give everybody an opportunity to have their final words.
Me too. Yeah.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Before we had our final word, I want to share with you all that Snoop Dogg has entered the conversation as well. And Snoop is really declaring war on any African-American that accepts a contract or performs in the inaugural. So before we have the final, your final word, I want to just ask all of you to speak to what do you think about that situation? Should there be some African-Americans who take advantage of being paid to be a part of Trump's inaugural? Andre, what are your thoughts about that?
Are you asking Audrey or Andre?
Andre, excuse me. Andre. Is that right?
Well, she may have dropped off her. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyone, chime in and tell me what your thoughts about Snoop Dogg's challenge to see who's going to be the first to perform, African-American, to perform at Donald Trump's inaugural.
So, James, let me ask you. So you're saying he's challenging them to, or he's threatening them not to? And if they do, there's
he's threatening them not to. He's saying who's going to be the first, using his term, who's going to be the first Uncle Tom to accept the money from Donald Trump?
Oh, let me tell you, man. That's retarded. That's retarded. And it's absolutely immature for anybody to step out of line to have to throw that title around to manipulate persons to do whatever it is they're free willing wanting to do. I mean, he's no different than anybody else to use terms such as those to manipulate people to do things against their will. I mean, that's absolutely immature. And I'm not surprised that coming from him.
You're right. You know, my thought is that I'm leaving that up to the individual. I'm praising those people for suggesting that they're not going to do it, but I'm not calling anybody out if they choose to do it. That, you know, that's where I'm going. Joyce, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I don't know who that gentleman was that just spoke about Snoop Dogg. What was your feeling? I think it was last year when the African Americans, they did not want to go to the Oscars because there was nobody there up for nothing. What's your opinion on that situation?
Well, I mean, a person has the right to protest in which way they want to. You know, that was one of the things that we spoke about Saturday. And my take on that was that, well, maybe it was Friday. My take on that was there wasn't enough talent to be even considered for nomination. Now, you just don't nominate somebody just to fill in the gap, just to appease a group.
There was not enough talent, or that was not a good enough movie or whatever to be nominated. Which one
no,
is it?
There wasn't enough talent. Will Smith is a talented person, but in my opinion about him, he acts the same in everything he acts, in everything he does. So he's not a very versatile individual when it comes to talent. So if that was the mantra for the protest, I thought it was silly.
Mm. That's the one thing that's good about opinions. We all have one.
I agree.
Well, we're not. Be sure that you understand this, that Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is not here for all of us to have the same opinion. And we do need
exactly.
to voice the differences we have of opinion. Now, let me just ask you, what movies do you think during that time should have been nominated?
And you're asking me, or you're asking the lady?
Why don't you answer it?
Well, now was that last year or the year before?
I think wasn't it last year that they
either one because both of them didn't select any black, so either one of those years would be fine. But let me say now, I think Martin Luther King was last year, wasn't it?
It was Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was one of them, I think. That one guy who was from from Europe, the black guy from Europe. He was in a movie. I forgot what his movie was. There was several, but, you know, who can remember?
And what about the doctor who brought forth, what about the doctor who brought forth the information related to the brain issues? That was the last in the last 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, that was what it was. And I think that should have been nominated, concussion. But that was, that's the reason why, yeah, that was the main one last year, concussion. And that should have been, that should have been there. It didn't even get recognized at all.
That was the one
Will Smith was in, and I think he did an excellent job on that.
Well, I mean,
and we have to remember, it's not just the main actor. You got supporting actors. You got the film itself. I mean, there were a lot of different ways you could have went at it, D, other than just the main lead. I mean, you know, the main actor. Again, there were some very major movies. Again, no, it wasn't Martin Luther. It was called Selma. Wasn't that last year or the year before that?
Selma was one of them. But I think he got the song, didn't it, Selma? I'm trying to look it up real quick.
For 2 years straight, there was no recognition of anything, song or anything.
Well, now, and that's a great point. Now let's be objective in thinking. If the industry as a whole, is trying to blackball black actors and actresses, then that's a whole other issue. And now we have to put into account that the people that own these companies, they may be part of a movement in their own right. And that's not too far-fetched to think that. You know, we spoke about the all-right movement, and the all-right movement is the alternative right-wing movement. And these people are collectively consist of very, very, very wealthy people for the most part. And so all of them could be having this protest or this collective effort to exempt us, people of color, out of all opportunities, and that's a very real possibility.
And that's a very real statement, because if you're, I saw Viola Davis speak. I don't know. I think she won something. I don't know what year it was. What she said is that Hollywood is not creating roles for African American women.
There you go.
And that was one of the discussions Dee and I had, that when one of our icons, Michael Jackson, is being they hire a white actor from Britain because this is a film or a TV movie that they're doing in Britain, and they hire a white person to do it. So we see that sometimes they'll even make movies of our icons and they want to use white Americans to do it. Now, you know good and well they wouldn't have selected a black person to be an icon that was a white American, European or otherwise.
Well, I hope the Jack charged them a heck of money to do it.
Well, this is the kind of thing that we have to be prepared to stay on top of. We have just a little bit of time left, so I want you to all, I'm going to go to a short break, and then I'm going to come back, and I want your final word.
La 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 la
right. Do you, give us your final word for this evening.
Thank you, James. Thank you. I think that now's the time to be a little bit more methodical to where we can think our way through this. You know, I can appreciate the emotional aspect of everybody's input, but it's going to take a little bit more than that. And, the people in control are just that, they're in control. So my contention is that we have to find ways, not a way, but ways to outsmart them.
All right, Kathy, your final word?
My final word for today is to be the best that you can be. Tomorrow is not promised for any one of us, nor is the next hour or second. So it's best to be the best that who you are. And Snoop Dogg only speaks for himself. He does not speak for me or a lot of people that I know, because most of the time he's hot, so he don't know what he's saying half the time.
Amen.
Well, listen, now I don't want y'all for 1 minute to think Snoop being my mouthpiece. I was just trying to share something to get some response, okay? So truly, I don't smoke no weed, and Snoop Dogg is not my mouthpiece, but I just was sharing a little information.
Well, you did.
You know, I just want to say one thing. Usually when somebody retaliate or come back in a way that we're not used to or that may be a way that we may act differently, you know, there's a cause that they're rebelling against, or there's a cause, they're fighting for something, whether it's your way, my way, you know, there's the right way, the wrong way, and then that's down the middle. So Snoop Dogg may have said what he said. We still have to respect what he said. That's his opinion. He may not agree with your opinion. You know, like Hughley, you may not throw the F word around. You got another word for the F word. But he was sharing his opinion. And I got my own opinion. There are some issues that I've got to work through that I'm still very angry about. Because I came up in Mississippi back in a time where I picked cotton. So see this stuff come back around again, it hurts. And it's not easy. It's not something that's easy for me to walk through. I've already lived that. And now I've got to relive it again. I would like for you guys to respect my opinion. Might not be yours, but it's mine.
Yes,
well, we're all here to respect each other's opinion. And that's what, you know, I do this show, and it's going to be unfiltered. But we're going to show respect for each other's feelings and our opinion. But we want all our opinions to be honest and above board. And we want you to say what's on your mind. So please don't ever think your opinion won't be it may be challenged, but it's going to always be respected.
Well, I'm always up for a good challenge.
Okay, all right. Miss Audrey.
Hey,
I don't think Audrey's with us anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, we're at our final minute. And I want, is there anybody not giving their final word?
Miss Garrison, where are you?
I would just like to say we just have to try and keep Martin Luther King's dream alive. I know sometimes we may feel as though that we're taking two steps back in order to get three steps forward. But we got to keep pushing forward, you know, and we have to do it as a group. And that's all I have to say today in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King. Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, let me just tell you, all of you, I think we're headed in the right direction. There seems to be so much personality that we're being blessed with here on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And we want to continue to go in this direction. We're committed to another year to grow and make things happen.
And we know that what we're doing has to be done. We have to get together and come to the table as one, prepared to let people know what our ideas are related to the direction our country is going in. And we need to create strategies about how we're going to attack the issues that come before us. And we have to be willing to get on air and make sure people understand what we're how we feel and what we think. You know, so often I share this, and some of you may have had a different experience, but it hurts me to no end when I hear on TV, well, this is what Americans are thinking. This is what America has said. And ain't nobody called me and asked me no questions. I want to be asked. I want to be given an opportunity to say what I think. And until I am, all Americans ain't spoken. That's what I'm telling you. Unless James Deshaies speaks, all Americans have not spoken. And so
exactly.
That's where I'm coming from. That's what thoughts, love, and reflection is all about. And I want not only African Americans to speak, I want Latino Americans to speak, I want Asian Americans to speak, and I want white America to speak. Because I can't speak for white America. All I can do is tell you what I think white America is trying to say. And sometimes what they're trying to say don't make me happy. And I need them to know that. And so this is what I'm telling you. This show is about letting everybody know we're sitting all down at the table. And when I throw my spade down or my trump down, I want you to know it hit the board hard. And I want you to respond to it.
You know, if we take the opinion that, let's say, for instance, Hughley and Snoop, we can learn from them. We can learn that that's maybe not the way that we want to go. Just like if somebody positive speak and they say this is the way we want to go, then you can also learn from other people that's not where we want to go.
And real quick, ma'am, I want to say to you, because I think this is the right thing to say, that I apologize if I gave you the notion that I was any kind of way disrespecting your opinion. But I want to let you know that I love you, and I'm proud of the adversities in life that you was able to overcome. And I look forward to speaking to you again.
Oh, I'm good. You didn't offend me. No, I'm good. I got thick skin.
Well, D, let me tell you, assure you that I thought you carried yourself as a professional as you always do, but I just wanted everybody to recognize that's how we're going to do it here. You know, as soon as somebody gets out of place, they will be dealt with. But I have never even used one of these exits before, and I don't know how to use it, but I never came close to using it because nobody has done that. And so I'm very proud of all of you that have called in and the respect that you have with one another. But, Dee, I want to just tell you, we need you to say some of the things that you said. I was very shocked
Absolutely.
By what you said, but we needed you to say it because some people need to say it because sometimes we give a check to everything without fully going through it and seeing. Listen, let me tell you something. Will Smith has done some things that I thought was pure garbage. Denzel Washington has done some things that I thought was pure garbage. What Denzel and what is my sister's name who won Best Actor for that? I say it every time I get a chance. Monster
Viola
Ball.
Davis?
No, it wasn't Viola Davis. It was who won the, not too many long ago, she won it along with Denzel Washington.
Holly Berry. She was horrible.
Holly Berry won for Monster Ball Best Actress.
And
that
was
the worst garbage ever.
True, I agree.
And
well,
so every African-American needs to go on record saying that was some garbage. But they gave
okay.
it to us, and that's what they'll do. That's what they'll do to us sometimes. When they didn't give us an award for what they should have gave it to us, they'll wait till we do some garbage and give us an award for it.
Exactly. That's true.
Hush money award.
Well, you know you always got to have one somewhere. Shoot.
Yeah, that was
yep.
pure garbage. I would not buy that in any form whatsoever. It really should have been rated X.
Oh, my goodness.
It's terrible. It was terrible.
Wow.
Well, at the time, that's how they saw black actresses, and that's all that they figured that black actress was capable of doing, going on the big screen, screwing a white boy. But now they see what real action is all about, because you look at Fences and you look at this one that just came out about Figures. Oh, my God, extremely excellent, excellent. And that's what acting is all about.
Well, you see, they would never have asked Julia Roberts to do that with an African-American. I wouldn't have asked her to do that with anybody. So that's my problem. What you asked this lady to do something, you wouldn't have never asked any other a female white actress to do that with them. I have never even seen any A actresses do anything close to that before.
And three black actresses turned that role down before Holly stepped up to take it. And that just tell you, you know, who they are and how they represent and look at themselves as being an actress.
Yeah. And I've been meaning to say that for a long time, so y'all just gave me the right to say it, but I've been wanting to say that in a public forum for a long time, and so thank you.
Well, we probably was thinking it with you, Jane.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're
well,
exactly
guys,
right.
We've come to the end of another show, and I just want to thank you all for your support and your continued efforts to be here with me on a regular basis. We'll be here tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. West Coast Time. And we want you to know that you always have a voice that will be heard loud and clear on Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network. Take care, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, have a good evening.
Just won't do. Third. Mm-hmm.